Rod Kristen and his sister Kay farm corn, soybeans, and some wheat on the family's land near the small town of Steiner in southeastern Nebraska. But Rod says their main crop is grass.
Big Blue Stem is our big producer. That's kind of our Cadillac grass.
Between 200 and 300 cows and their calves graze year-round on the Kristen's native prairie pastures. We walk through yellow bunches of goldenrod and blue stem shimmering in the breeze. Kristen says grass is both a natural resource and their farm's foundation.
Grass under management has the ability to store water and prevent erosion and provide wildlife habitat, which is all a side benefit because what keeps us in business is the feed value.
Kristen says this patch of pasture is virgin prairie. It's never been plowed. But in recent years, he says it's become common to see farmers take cattle off their pastures to plant more corn.
Even some steep, sloped, and poor ground is being farmed.
Just last year in Nebraska, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says nearly 55,000 acres of land that had never grown crops was broken out for farming. It was the most in the country. But the same thing is happening across other Midwestern states, like South Dakota, Iowa, and Kansas. Mary Kay Thatcher of the National Farm Bureau Federation says it's easy to tell why farmers are trading grass for corn or soybeans. Look at grain prices.
When you have corn and bean prices as high as they've been for the last year plus, you're going to expect that some pasture land is probably going to go to cropland.
Grain prices, spurred by the ethanol boom, set off a nationwide plow-up. A study from the Environmental Working Group shows from 2008 to 2011, farmers reclaimed 23.7 million acres of grasslands, wetlands, and woodlands for farming, an area roughly the size of Indiana. Some of that land had been enrolled in a federal conservation program that pays farmers to keep land out of production. But Tracy Bruckner of the Center for Rural Affairs says some of it is marginal land, land that may have poor soil or be prone to erosion and isn't suitable for farming long term.
It won't be profitable for them to continue growing crops on that land, especially if grain prices go down. However, if you can put marginal land into production and get a revenue guarantee on that land, people will put some of that land back into production.
If the crop thrives, farmers cash in on high prices. If it fails, they can lean on the insurance. A bipartisan sod saver provision in the farm bill would change that. It would cut premium subsidies and lower the potential insurance payouts for crops planted on busted sod.
You know, those acres in Nebraska would be outside that prairie pothole region. Our view is that it should not be the government's job to help provide a guarantee on those acres. So if they want to do that, they're doing that at their own risk because it was a good risk to take.
Come, girls! Come, babies! Let's go!
Kate Kristen shakes a feed bucket, and soon we're surrounded by black cattle munching on corn and clover. Just across the fence is more grass, another one of their pastures, except that it almost wasn't. Rod Kristen says for 15 years it was under a contract in a federal conservation program. Just a few years ago, that contract expired.
Well, that's when crop prices are escalating. Big sways in the markets kind of make you think, you know.
It was tempting, he says, to plant corn for a few years and make some extra money while prices were high. But in the end, the field stayed in pasture. For the way the Kristens do things, taking out the grass didn't add up.
Once you kill the sod, you know, that's a whole ecosystem, you know, that will change. I feel it was a good decision. Did it pay as good? Probably not.
Rod Kristen says what worked for them wouldn't work for everyone. Each farmer has to do the math for themselves. Groups hoping to preserve prairie grasslands are hoping that changes in crop insurance are enough to ensure farmers are making a long-term calculation. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.